right, so we are going to, yes, like Matt said, finish up the Hosea series tonight, and I am really excited to get to the third chunk of this series and talk a little bit about how Hosea endured through the difficulties of his life. But before we begin, let's just pray, and we'll get going here. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for grace, that you just lavish us with grace, and that in our failings and our struggles and sufferings and trials, that you're just with us all the time. And so I just praise you for that, and I thank you for that. And I pray that tonight your words would be spoken and that people would draw closer to you from what is said here. God. And I'm just grateful that you speak through us and your spirit moves through us and helps us grow. So we lift tonight up to you and thank you for the opportunity to worship you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So let's recap a little bit from the last 2 weeks. So the first week was obey. We talked about how Hosea was called, commissioned, asked by God to do some sort of really radical step of obedience. And God came to Hosea. If you guys have your Bibles, if you would open up to that, we'll be in that book just a little bit tonight. And the Lord first spoke to Hosea. We're in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. It says, when the Lord first spoke to Hosea, he said this to him, go and marry a promiscuous wife and have children of promiscuity. For the land is committing blatant acts of promiscuity and by abandoning the Lord. And so here God comes to Hosea and he says, I want you to marry, in another translation it'll say this outright, I want you to marry a prostitute. And you see just a verse later and it says, so he went and he married Gomer. And he stepped out in obedience and he followed his God when he called him to do something radical. And then last week we talked about staying focused. And how Gomer, his wife, lost focus on Hosea. And this was a picture of how the Israelites had lost focus on God. And so here we have this picture of the Israelites. We have Gomer here, and she is running after all sorts of other things. She's very, very distracted. She's running after food and wine and clothing, and she's running to all sorts of other people to provide her needs. She's ultimately running after all these different lovers. And so she's gotten distracted. And so last week, we spent the half hour that we were here together talking about how things in our lives that are really good things, that are blessings that God gives us, we can twist and we can make it into something that it's not supposed to be. I use the analogy that God holds various thrones in our lives, that he is our provider, he is our protector, he is our lover, he is our friend, he is our commander, he is all sorts of things to us, and we can try to put other things on those thrones. And that was ultimately what Gomer was doing in her relationship with Hosea. She wasn't running to her husband, she was running to her other lovers, and the Israelites were doing the same thing to God. They were running to other gods, things that couldn't actually provide for them. And so tonight, we're going to talk about endurance. And I thought the very first thing we should kind of lay the groundwork of is what is endurance. And I defined endurance, and you can use other words here, perseverance, long-suffering, carrying on, pushing on, pressing on, keeping going. But ultimately, I defined endurance as continuing to obey and continuing to stay focused throughout all the trials, throughout all the sufferings, throughout all the things that happen in our lives, that we can lose focus along the way or stop obeying or think, ah, that's too hard. I've already done enough hard stuff. And so endurance is ultimately just continuing to obey our Heavenly Father, continuing to obey God's commandments in our lives, and continuing to stay focused and not get distracted by turning blessings into idols and turning other things into things that they're not supposed to be. And so in Hebrews 10:36, we're going to jump around here a little bit. In Hebrews 10:36, if you're using one of these Bibles, it's on page 1467. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance, so after that you have done God's will, you may receive what is promised." And so we're told here by the writer of Hebrews that we have need of endurance. We need to press on. We need to keep obeying. And the reason is we want to take hold of God's promises in our lives. And ultimately, if we don't endure, if we don't keep obeying and keep pressing forward and keep holding our Father's hand throughout our lives, some of those things can be lost. Jesus, just a few chapters later in Hebrews 12, does something. The verse here, I just love it. It's in Hebrews 12, 2, and I think I'll carry it on through 3. This won't be up here. It says, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy laid before him endured the cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. So Jesus had the crucifixion coming his way. And he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, is there another way to do this? And God told him, no, this is what we need to do. You're going to go to the cross. You're going to be crucified. You're going to be offered up as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And Jesus did it for the joy set before him. He did it for the blessing that all the people of the world would receive. And that's ultimately entering back into a relationship with God because he had taken God's wrath onto himself. And I think that's super exciting. And I think there's a key here that endurance is more than just putting a step forward and just keeping going and just trucking on and pressing forward. Now, certainly that's part of it. But it's also because of the joy set before us. I'm the kind of guy who, Emily and I were talking about this leading up to this teaching. I'm the kind of guy who just says, well, just do it. And there's truth to that. Sometimes you just got to pick yourself up by the bootstraps and keep going. When you fall down, pick yourself up. But having a right perspective helps a lot too. And so rather than just kick in the pants, just do it. Let's talk about some of the things that we can turn our eyes to that helps just doing makes just doing it a little bit easier. Having a good and right perspective. And so now, just a few minutes ago, I was talking about all the things that Hosea was going through. He was asked to marry a promiscuous wife, and his wife was unfaithful. She was adulterous. She was running after other lovers. And in the first chapter, it indicates that only one of his children was his. So he had kids that weren't his that he was raising as his own. And something, I think, even more difficult came along into Hosea's life. If you would turn with me to Hosea chapter 3. I'm just going to read the first couple verses. It says, then the Lord said to me, go again and show love to a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Just as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. So now God has asked him to obey and marry a prostitute. And she has done what was probably expected. She's run after other lovers and gone after other things. And now she's gotten herself into a situation where she's owned by another person, and Hosea has to go buy his wife back. And that is an additional step of obedience, and it's endurance. It's continuing to obey even though things are difficult. It's continuing to stay focused on God even though things are really hard. And if you read along, Hosea goes and does it. He continues to endure. And enduring through difficult things can be really difficult. Emily and I were talking about things that we've done in our lives and gone through in our lives. And I worked for a company here in town, and I got hired to work rotating 12s. And so that basically meant to work 3 days a week, and then 4 days a week, 3 days a week, then four days a week. And I thought, oh, this is really going to be awesome. And I'm only going to work 7 out of every 14 days. And 12 hours, that can't be so bad. And there were a lot of perks to it, but there were also a lot of difficulties that came along with it. And one of those was I'm an early riser, and every morning I get up to spend some time in the Word and to pray. And so I would get up roughly 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe 3:30, and then I would go to work. Work started at 5, and I would work till 5:30 at night, so half hour lunch break in there. And then after that, pretty much every evening of the week, we had something going on. We had Life Group, or we had The Edge, and we would do that for a couple hours, and then I would come home, and now I haven't seen my wife one-on-one yet. So I would sit with Emily and talk with her for about an hour or so before I go to bed, and that could be anywhere between 10 to midnight, and then I get up and do it again. And it was really, really tough. And looking back, she asked, what was it that made it that you could do that, because you kept doing it. You did it for over a year. And I thought, well, just took myself up by the bootstraps and I did it. And the more we talked about it and the more we thought about it, there was a lot more going on in the background, just like I believe there was a lot more than Hosea just picking himself up by the bootstraps. I think in reality, I was motivated by more than, well, I just need to do the right thing. And so I want to talk about three different ways that my perspective on endurance, and I think God's perspective on endurance, helps us carry on. And the first one is that us enduring, us in continuing to obey God, even though things are difficult, us continuing to stay focused on Him is a way that we bless God. We express our gratitude and our thankfulness to God by continuing to do those things. Endurance blesses God. And Hosea blessed God by continuing to obey Him, continuing to hold His hand through this difficult thing that God had asked him to do, and continuing to come to Him and listen and follow through. I think this is very, very similar to the way my boys interact with me. I ask them to do difficult things sometimes, and they'll sometimes rebel, but it warms my heart, and it blesses me, and it just satisfies me when my children listen for their own benefit. It's such a good thing. The other day, my boy woke up, Cademan, and he started crying. So I went into his room, and he was soaked. From the knees down, which is really odd because diapers stop here, and I'm not really sure. And so from the knees down, he's soaked, and there's three spots on the bed, all scattered out. And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, buddy, what happened? Did you pee? No! Did you puke? No! So I got down and sniffed it and thought, well, at least I'll figure out what it is. I have no idea what it was. So I strip him down, and he's not wearing anything, and change his diaper, which isn't full. So now I'm even more confused. But we get downstairs, and I sit down on my recliner, and I go back to reading the word, and he just throws his arms around me and sits in my lap. And he came to me with nothing other than his diaper, which I had just changed, that stinky thing. And it warmed my heart, and it blessed me for my boy to come to me. Just like I believe that it warmed God's heart when Hosea ran to him and said, this is hard, but I just want to be by you. And then I sat there with my boy and I threw my blanket around him and kept him warm because it was chilly that morning and we had the windows open. And it was just such a beautiful picture of how we can sit in our Father's lap and run to Him in difficult times and how it blesses a father's heart when his kids do that. Another way it can bless God is that our faithfulness allows Him to work. He doesn't need us. He can use other people and He can do everything Himself, but He wants to work through us. And when I look back at when I was working for this company, working rotating 12s, it blessed God to have a faithful servant working in the edge. Lots of things were going on around here at Cedar Creek, and Rob kind of needed to take a little bit of a step back, so Matt and I stepped in and started working in the edge, and we certainly didn't do it perfectly. But God was calling us to step up as leaders and endure, to work hard, to obey Him, and to continue to focus on Him. And I think it blessed Him, it blessed God to have people who are faithful, people who are continuing to work hard for the advancement of His kingdom. Ultimately, enduring through difficult things, like working 12-hour shifts, like marrying a prostitute and having her run the other direction, forces the person in that difficult situation to look to their Father, to hold His hand just like I hold my boy's hand, to walk with Him. And so I think endurance blesses God because it ultimately expresses gratitude to Him, that we're excited about the endurance that Jesus went through when He suffered on the cross. And I think that when we don't endure, God doesn't receive those blessings, the blessings of holding our hands, the blessings of feeling the warmness in His heart when we're sitting on His lap and enjoying time with Him. That He doesn't have the opportunity to teach us through those things when we're stubborn and rebellious, not obeying and not focusing on Him. We're turning away from those opportunities. In Isaiah 43:4-5, Luke's got this one. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. God wants us to come to him, and we are precious in his eyes, and that warms his heart, and it blesses God when we obey him and when we focus on him and we keep pressing forward, when we keep carrying on. Another way that I think endurance, having a right perspective on endurance, is for us to think about how endurance blesses those around us. So not only just picking up ourselves up by the bootstraps and carrying on because it's the right thing to do, but looking at the way, looking at how when we obey God and looking at how when we stay focused on him, that just blesses so many people around us. And I think of Hosea here, and he married Gomer. And marriage is a covenant. Marriage is this, it's a binding godly contract where two people come together and they're going to try to be faithful to each other. They're going to try to work with each other. They're going to continue to labor in love with each other. And Hosea didn't give up when Gomer went her own way. In chapter 3, we talked about this, he went and bought his wife back. And that had to be crazy difficult. The amount of faithfulness that Hosea had to show to his wife, the amount of relentless love that he was showing to his wife, even after she spat in his face and ran the other direction, is incredible. And his endurance in that marriage blessed her because she had someone she could go back to, even though she was stubborn and rebellious. And it was the same way with the Israelites. God wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to relent. He wasn't going to slow down. He was going to keep pursuing his people, just like he's going to keep pursuing you and I. But his endurance within his marriage blessed his wife. And I look back 5 years ago when I was working 12-hour shifts, and I'm not a night person, and I'm not a morning person. Or I am a morning person, but I'm not a night person. And so having gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning and getting home at 10 p.m. at night, staying up is not something I really want to do. But this verse kept coming to my mind. A verse that I felt called to obey, and it's in Ephesians 5:25. I meditate on this verse at least once a week, still to this day, and it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word." Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Jesus died for the church. That's a high calling, husbands. That is incredibly high calling. And so I'm reading this verse and I'm like, okay, God, I want to obey this. And it was really easy to obey this when I was only working 8-hour shifts because staying up with my wife wasn't too difficult. But as I stepped into 12-hour shifts, it was becoming increasingly difficult. And so I've continued to want to step out and obey God in this area of my life. So I would stay up. And I'm not saying I did it perfectly. There were nights I was frustrated. There were nights that I was just grumpy. There were nights that she was talking to a brick wall because I'm sitting there drooling because I'm so tired. But I wanted to obey my Heavenly Father and stay focused on him and continue to do it even though it was hard. I wanted to endure. And God calls us to endurance in so many different aspects of our life. One is being a husband or a wife. Continue to stay faithful. Continue to work at that marriage. Continue to love each other, even though we're messed up. And we realize that the person we're living with is more messed up than we thought. Another area of life that when we endure in is when we endure in parenting, we bless lots of people. If we endure in godly parenting, we bless our kids, we bless our families, we bless our extended families, we bless the church, we bless society, we bless their future employers, their future spouses. There's another verse that I frequently look at once a week in Ephesians 6:4. It says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Endurance, continuing to train and instruct my children, blesses them tremendously. And I could give really just 1,000 stories of ways this has already happened, and I only have a 3.5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-month-old. They're not even that old. Continuing to bring them up in training and the instruction of the Lord will bless them. One of the ways it will bless them is all of the things that God has been teaching me since I started faithfully walking with him, trying to do what he calls me to do for the last 8 years, I can pass on to my kids. I can teach them those things. Now, certainly they can disregard it, but I can teach them those things and help them walk through life even better than I had it, because they have more wisdom and more advice and more godly character surrounding them to help sculpt them and shape them into godly young men and women. One of the things I think of is we read my kids a little children's Bible every single night. And this is one of the ways we're trying to bring our kids up in training and instruction of the Lord. Teach them the stories, teach them the things that God is trying to reveal to us through the scriptures. And we had forgotten to bring the kids' Bible with us when we went on vacation to my in-laws. And so I thought, well, read the real Bible. So I was reading through Proverbs, and I forget exactly what proverb it was, but I read through it, and Grayson goes, "Papa, what does that mean?" And I did my best to simplify it for him. And so if you ask him today, he probably won't get it quite right, but you'll get something like this: "Grayson, what do wise men do?" And he'll say, they listen, think, pray, and then they speak. And I continue to keep trying to instill that into my children, that when someone speaks to you and you're working through something or you're talking about something, he's only 3.5, but we listen to what someone else is saying and we don't just spit out what comes to our mind. We think about what they're saying. We pray about what we're going to respond with. And then we give the advice. We give the wisdom. We counsel somebody. Now, I could certainly, if I stop trying to instill that in Grayson and instill that in Cademan and soon Lillian, maybe they'll remember it. But if I continue to endure, I'm passing on wisdom. I'm passing on a blessing to my children. And I'm ultimately passing on a blessing to all sorts of other people around them, their employers, their future wives, their husbands, their future kids, all things that enduring and godly parenting can do. Another way is in our workplace. God calls us to work heartily for the Lord. In Colossians 3:23, it says, "Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men." It is really can be really, really hard to respect and honor and submit to our employers, to our bosses, or to any authority in our life. It can be incredibly difficult, but continuing to endure in obeying this verse, work enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men. If we continue to endure in that, if we continue to persevere in that, continue to carry on in that, we can have the perspective of this is blessing so many people around me. I'm helping the business get better. I'm helping my coworkers succeed and my boss look good. And these are all good and righteous things. And if we don't endure in these areas, those blessings don't come to all the people around us. If we continue to not obey and not stay focused, the blessings that we have the opportunity to give, that God can give through that, just doesn't happen. One of the things that I tried to do while I was at Nestle people would come into my office and I'd be crazy busy, be clacking at my computer, or I'd be doing a titration. I was a scientist doing a titration or doing some experiment, and it's time sensitive and I can't, you know, the chemical I'm working with degrades by light. So I'm on a ticking time here. I got to work fast because the longer I take, the less accurate the result is. And someone comes in and they're like, "Oh gosh, this thing's going on and we need to fix it and you need to fix it." So one of the things that I tried to get in the habit of saying is, "I just need a few minutes, but I'll happily do that for you. I will enthusiastically do that for you," and try to obey God in that area, that I would enthusiastically work for the Lord. And that's something that each and every one of us are doing. So when you're sitting there at work and they give you another project and you're thinking, "I'm so overwhelmed," you can step out in obedience and say, "I'm going to try to do that for you." as best I can. When you're parenting and your kid rebels, you can continue to bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. When they're getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning every night and you can't figure out why, we can continue to endure in that because there's blessing for our children in that. And ultimately, there's also our endurance, our continuing to obey, our continuing to stay focused, blesses ourselves. We bless our Heavenly Father. We bless God because we're showing him our gratitude. We're showing him our thankfulness. We're showing him how much we love him, and it warms his heart when we run to him. We're blessing those people around us by all the benefits that come from living a godly life. And we're also blessing ourselves. Hosea walked through an incredibly difficult trial in his life, but he stayed obedient and he stayed focused. And in Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says, "And not only that, we rejoice in our afflictions because we know that our affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope." When we continue to step out in obedience to God and when we continue to stay focused on him, our character grows. Character doesn't grow from one simple act of obedience and never doing it again. Maybe it does just a teeny bit, but character is developed over time, over more and more acts of faith, more and more acts of obedience, more and more staying focused on God. Our lasting growth comes from continuing to endure in obeying and staying focused. Another way that this blesses us, in 1 Corinthians 3, 13 through 5. I have that right here. For those of you who have one of these, it is page 1393. It says, "If anyone builds their foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it," judgment day, "because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test the quality of each one's work. If one's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward, and if anyone's work is burnt up, it will be lost, but he will be saved, yet it will be like an escape through fire." What this verse is saying, what this passage is saying, that our salvation is secure. If we don't obey and we don't stay focused, we are still going to get to spend eternity in heaven. But the rewards that we would receive are wood, straw, and hay, and they're going to be burnt up. And the things that we do when we step out in faith and act in obedience and continue to stay focused, those things are precious gems to God. They are precious stones to him. And those things we can lay at his feet in the end of days. And that is exciting because we are going to be rewarded in heaven for our acts of obedience and our acts of staying focused on God. And also, endurance blesses us here on earth. 2 weeks ago, we talked about a passage in Deuteronomy 28, and he says, and I'm not going to read all of it because that would take forever, but it says, "Now if you faithfully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow his commands I'm giving you today, the Lord will put you far above all the nations." And then he says, "You will be blessed in the city. Your descendants will be blessed. Your land's produce, your offspring, your livestock, including your young herds." And he goes on and on and on, and he says that I want to bless you here on earth, and our obedience gives him opportunity to do that. If we don't endure, we don't receive the blessing of growth and character. If we don't endure, we don't receive rewards in heaven because it's burnt up. If we don't endure, we don't receive the blessing. My second cousin, we pick on him for this. I actually don't know his name. I know his face. But I don't see my second cousin except for opening weekend of deer hunting. My second cousin hunts in this stand, and where we hunt, we have deer cameras everywhere. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's a camera mounted on a tree. And it's got an infrared sensor, and it shoots out, and whenever something moves past that, it takes a picture. And so on the trail and out into the field that he hunts over, he walks by this deer camera. So every single day, every morning when he walks in, there's this picture of him walking by. And then on his way out, walking by. And a couple days into deer hunting, it was getting crazy cold, bitter cold, winds are whipping, and he's not in one of those stands where he's got a heater and he's fully enclosed and nice and warm and laying there in a t-shirt like I am. And so he's cold. And he's sitting there, and he's thinking, man, I'm freezing. I don't want to endure this. So he sits there for a little while longer, and he says, you know what? It's Sunday. I'm going to watch the Packer game, and I'm going to go eat some food and warm up. And so there's this picture of him leaving his stand at about 11:30 or so. And 20 minutes later, there's a picture of this monster buck standing right there, 20 yards from his stand. And had he sat in that stand for just 20 more minutes and endured the weather, he would have shot likely the biggest buck he would ever shot in his life. And it milled around there on the camera for over a half hour. And then disappears, and then there's this picture of him with a full belly walking back to his deer stand. Had he just endured, he could have received the blessing of harvesting the biggest buck of his life. Today, my wife calls me, and she says, honey, I've got a flat tire, and not just one flat tire, I have two flat tires. And I thought, two flat tires? How do you do that? I've never heard of that before. At least it's not three. And so I came at home, and I jacked the car up, took the tires off, and I brought them into the shop that I take them to. They're Christians there. They got Christian music playing. The guy's telling me his testimony. I just love these guys. And the first mechanic does he figures out where the hole is, and he goes, okay, takes it downstairs, pops it off the rim, patches it, brings it up, pumps it up, and he's sitting there, and he goes, oh, that sounds a little funny. He finds another hole. And he does this three times. He keeps finding more holes after he's taken it off the rim, put a patch on it, put it back on the rim, testing it again. Oh, there's another hole. He does this three times, and then he's got to go. He's already late, so he gives it to one of the other workers there, and he starts doing this. He does it two more times. They find a total of six holes in one tire. Six. And I'm looking at the situation. I'm like, well, first off, we should just put a new tire on it, but you don't have one, and my wife needs to drive somewhere, so thank you for doing this. He blessed my wife and I by enduring five times, finding six holes, continuing to take that tire on and off the rim, and continuing to patch more and more holes that he was finding. He was blessing my wife and I by continuing to endure and fixing that tire. And he didn't probably realize, but he was also blessing himself, because I'm sitting there amazed that he's not yelling at this tire, and that he's not upset with me for wanting him to fix it, and that I'm more and more impressed by the way he conducts his business, and that he just wants to help me out and get my wife's car moving again. Now, of course, he gave me the recommendation I should probably put a new tire on it, which a good businessman would also do, but he was blessing himself. And he was also working heartily for the Lord and not unto men. He was doing this as an act of glorifying God. He was blessing God by the way he was conducting his business. He was blessing my wife and I by fixing this tire five separate times and patching six holes. And he was blessing himself because this was making his business look really good. And so, yeah, endurance can be hard. I could see the look on his face that he was getting frustrated the fifth time he took it off the rim again and put another patch. But when we endure and we stay focused on the perspective of when we endure, when we obey God, when we stay focused on him, we bless our Heavenly Father, we bless people around us, and we bless ourselves. It is much easier to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and keep going when we have that kind of perspective. So let's pray, and then we're going to break into groups, and we're going to pray about enduring in obedience and also then enduring and staying focused on God. Let's pray. God, I am so grateful for all that you have done in my life, and that you continue to hold my hand through difficult things, and you hold our hands through difficult things, and I'm grateful that you are faithful and that you don't give up. And I am so grateful that there's grace when we do screw up and when we lose focus and when we don't obey. So God, I just pray that each one of us would draw closer to you in difficult times, that we would draw closer to you and talk to you about all the struggles and trials in our lives. And God, that would warm your heart, and that it would warm ours and soften ours to yours. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.